Hi, I'm John Edmiston, and this is podcast number 2 in the series Time Management for Christian Disciples. And the subject of podcast number 2 is Pray, Prioritize, and Plan. You can find the material for these podcasts at cybermissions.org/3col. That's cybermissions.org/3col. C-O-L. You'll find a workbook there, you'll find these podcasts, and you'll find the three-column planner, which you'll find a great aid in organizing your time and doing your work for the Lord. So this session is called Pray, Prioritize, and Plan, because that's what we do as the basis of biblical time management. Number one, you need to pray. You need to pray for two reasons. You need to pray so that you know the mind of God, and you have God's perspective, God's wisdom and God's teaching in your heart, because the Holy Spirit instructs you in all things. So you need to pray to know the mind of God, just as Jesus would spend a night in prayer so he could know the mind of God. And as James tells us, that if any of us lacks wisdom, we can pray and God will give us wisdom without reproach or scolding. But we've got to have faith. So before you venture out, know what God wants so that you don't get trapped in the demands of other people or bright, shiny ideas that lead you down side paths and away from your true calling. So number one, pray to know the mind of God. Number two, pray to be strengthened in the inner man. You're going to need courage. You're going to need strength. You're going to need faith. You're going to need resolve. And the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 3, 14 to 21 starts off and says he prays that they would be strengthened by the Spirit in the inner man, in the part of us that's our conscience, the part of us that's Christ within us, the hope of glory. Paul prays that they'll be strengthened, and it goes on so that they know the love of Christ, so that reach Christian maturity, and that they'd come into contact with the God for whom nothing is impossible, and they'll be able to carry out their Christian life because they'll be strengthened in the inner man. And in Colossians, he says to be strengthened for all patient endurance. And you need patient endurance when you're accomplishing big things for God. So pray to know the mind of God and pray to be strengthened in the inner man. After we've done our praying, we have to prioritize. Now, priorities aren't about the amount of time, but it's about how you decide on a conflict. So priority A or priority B, when they're in conflict, what takes precedence? So I'll give you the five priorities and then we can work it out. The five priorities are number one, God's will. Number two, your health. Number three, your family. Number four, your friends. Number five, your work, your ministry, and your activities. Now, God's will is the most important thing. You might have to be a martyr for God's will. You might have to die for God's will. You are supposed to be honest. You're supposed to confess Jesus as Lord. And if anyone says to you, I'm going to put a gun to your head, if you don't confess Jesus as Lord, I'm going to shoot you, you still have to confess Jesus as Lord. It's the number one priority in your life, being ethical, being honest, being true, being righteous, obeying the commandments of Jesus, not getting into sin and fornication. This is the number one priority in your life. You must walk holy. You must walk in the truth. You must walk in the will of God. No amount of money should ever take you out of the will of God, and no amount of pleasure should ever take you out of the will of God, and your family shouldn't pull you out of the will of God. Some, unfortunately, have to leave father and mothers and brothers and sisters in other countries where there's real persecution. They have to put the will of God ahead of their own family. Number two priority is health. You can't do much work for God if you're sick or dead. You can't help your family if you're sick or dead. And you can't be a good friend if you're sick or dead. So take care of your health. If you're lucky, it won't take you much time, but make sure you get rest. Make sure you have a Sabbath. Make sure you take enough holidays so you don't burn out. Take care of your health. No amount of talk of spiritual sacrifice is worth it. God wants you to be healthy, and even Jesus would take his disciples away to rest for a while. In one case, he took them across the Jordan for a few months for a time of Bible training before going to the cross. So take care of your health. Number three, your family. We all hear a lot about this, the importance of family in Christian ministry. We know pastors that have hurt their families, their wives, by being too busy, and the children feel neglected. So families are higher priority than ministry. Doesn't mean you have to spend ages and ages with them, but you should spend significant quality time with your family so your family feels good, your marriage is strong, your kids know they're loved, and there's a good, strong sense of family. You're not just a workaholic. Friends. Now, this is unusual. Why is friends more important than ministry? Why is it number 4 or not number 7 or 20? Is friendship really that important? And the answer is, biblically speaking, yes, it is. Because if you're following the one another commands of the Bible, there's 23 one another commands. If you're being obedient to Jesus, you will have friends. You can't love one another without ending up with a few friends. You can't forgive one another without mending relationships and ending up with friends. You can't show forbearance and kindness and gentle spirit to one another without making friends in the process. And you can't live in community and show all the things of community, encouraging one another, praying for one another, spurring one another on to good deeds, without ending up with friends. If you're lonely, if you're alienated, if you have no friends you can talk to, something is wrong with your Christian life. Something is desperately wrong if you're working all day and all night and you have no one to share your soul with. Slow down, chill out, smell the roses, have coffee with some people, pray with some people, get into a home group, a small group, a prayer triplet, do something to create friendship, because that's where all the good stuff is, all the good New Testament things about loving one another and showing hospitality to one another and being open-hearted with one another. All those things about being tender-hearted, they lead to friendship. Paul would travel to another city just to catch up with Titus or Timothy, one of his group, because his friends were phenomenally important to him. Of course, he was single rather than married, but still, these friendships were the bedrock on which his ministry was built. And if you're a Christian leader, and you're not friends with the people around you, there's something in the wrong in the way that you're leading. Jesus was the greatest leader in the New Testament, of course, in the world. And he said to his disciples, "I don't call you servants, I call you friends." He established deep, loving friendships with Peter, with John, with James, and with others. Of course, not with Judas, because Judas's nature was terrible and greedy, and Judas ends up betraying him. But the whole nature of Christian leadership in the first century was built around substantial long-term relationships where iron sharpened iron. So friendship is a tremendous priority for you. And finally, number 5 is your work, your ministry and your activities. That should be more important than watching television or doing sports or other such things. It's still a number 5 priority, but it's a very important priority, and you should get on with the work that God has given you to do, and it should have priority over trivia and other things like that. So, and that includes your work as a teacher or a nurse or an engineer or whatever you're doing. Your career is part of God's gift to you, and you should take your career seriously in that regard. So there's 5 main priorities for organizing your time. Firstly, doing God's will. Secondly, taking care of your health. Thirdly, taking care of your family. Fourthly, making sure that you've got friends and relationships that are solid. And fifthly, your work, your ministry, your activities, your career. Okay, so they're the priorities we set. So how else does priorities help the Christian? Priorities help us to do more of what works and less of what does not work. Very simple paradigm: do more of what works, do less of what doesn't work. For instance, for me, I'm a terrible paperwork person. I'm a terrible administrator. I'm not really good at dotting I's and crossing T's. So no one asks me to organize anything. They ask me to teach instead. And I'm good at teaching. So I do as much teaching as I can. And I do as little church administration as possible, to everyone else's relief. And neither do I lead worship, to everyone else's relief, because my singing voice is terrible. So priorities enable us to do what we're good at and to avoid what we're bad at. And that helps us to achieve what God's purpose for our life is. Okay, we also need to prioritize, to put one thing in front of another in importance. We need to prioritize so that God's will becomes before your will and the priority of the Spirit before the lust of the flesh. What do I mean by that? Well, God's will should come before reruns of I Love Lucy. God's will should come before getting drunk. God's will should come before some selfish activity where we're just absorbed playing a game on a computer, or we're just wrapped up in ourselves or our own materialism. God's will should come before the desire to have a BMW 7 Series or something like that. There's better uses of your time and money than spending it on frittering it away on things. God has called us to love people and use things, not use people and love things. So God's called us to love people and use things, and they're part of our life. They can be a good part of our life. But God's will comes first, and the things of the flesh, the things of pride, the things of this world, they come second, and we need to set our priorities with that in mind. God's will comes first. Now, the other, so we've gone prayer, and now we've done prioritize. The third P is plan. I'm a good Baptist with three P's today. I was originally trained in a Baptist seminary, and then I went charismatic. So I'm sort of Bapticostal now. But the three P sermon outline is with me today: pray, prioritize, and plan. So the last P is plan. No one plans to fail, they just fail to plan. God plans, he plans through the ages, he had his plans and prophecies for the arrival of Jesus the Messiah, his plans for creation, he has his plans for the end times. Kings and engineers plan their wars and their projects. As Jesus talked about people building towers and going to war with their armies, and they count the cost beforehand. And we need to count the cost of being a Christian. But we need to plan out our life, otherwise it goes here and it goes there. So we need to think carefully. We need to have a plan for our life that's underneath God's plan for our life. We need to sit down, and in every October I plan the next year, of course, giving room for God to mess it up, which he sometimes does. I put this conference here and that there, and this trip here and that there, and this project, and we put it all together, and I'm going to write this book or do this series of podcasts. And when you've got a plan, it gives you a settled peace. You can get on with it. You can say yes to one thing and no to another. So all the wise people make wise plans. They make noble plans, and by noble plans they stand. Isaiah 32, verse 8. Now, with planning prospers when you've got an energetic person like Nehemiah, who rebuilt the wall of Jerusalem. Nehemiah planned his work and worked his plan and pushed his way through all the difficulties. So he went there, he walks around Jerusalem at night, sees the mess, sees the broken wall, says, oh, this needs to be fixed here, this needs to be fixed there. He then gets everyone together, puts this tribe on this part of the wall and this tribe on another, and these people over here and there, and they get away building the wall. He's planned his work, he's working his plan, he's got everyone assigned, he's got everyone working day and night on the project, and they're all a little bit terrified of Nehemiah because he was very bossy. And then the surrounding people say, no, we don't want you to build the wall. And all the surrounding people try and run interference. They threaten to kill everybody. So he puts a sword in one hand and the trowel in the other. And soon he pushes through the difficulties, and the wall is built in 55 days. Because he planned his work and worked his plan, and when there was a change in the circumstances, he adapted to the change in the circumstances. He tweaked his plan to take account of the threats from Sanballat and Tobias and all those terrible people. Read the book of Nehemiah, it's a really good story. So when we've made our plan, we have to plan our work and then work our plan with determination and power of the Holy Ghost. And the other reason we need to plan is planning helps us to communicate our desires and God's work and God's plan out to people who are going to work with us. So David prays and receives, he says, from the hand of God, the plan for the temple. And he says to his son Solomon, here are the plans. So every little detail, this twiddle and this twiddle and this part of the temple and the gatekeepers and the musicians, everything was planned out to the last detail before David passed away. David wasn't allowed to build the temple, but he came up with the plan, passed it on to Solomon, and then Solomon passed it on to the workmen. And because David had written it all down, because David had this plan all worked out, he was able to communicate it to Solomon. And because it was written down and worked out, Solomon was able to pass it on to the workmen, and the temple was built exactly as God wanted it built. Now, if you don't have a plan, then you can't communicate your plan. And if you can't communicate your plan, then you can't get people on board. Now, my nonprofit's called Cyber Missions, and sometimes people come to me and say, John, can you help us use the internet to share the gospel? And that's all the plan they've got. Use the internet to share the gospel. And that's, no one can come on board with that. So I say, well, what do you want to do? Do you want an ebook? Do you want a podcast? Do you want a website? Do you want a blog? Who do you want to reach with the gospel and where are they? And so I have to sit down sometimes for months over Skype calls and emails back and forth to help them to draw up a plan for their ministry. And once they've got a plan, they can say, oh, I need this kind of person. I need a graphic designer. I need a web designer. I need someone who can help me with my server. I can help someone who can edit the podcast or so on and so forth. And well, once they've got their plan, they can get donors on board. They can show the donor what the plan is. They can show foundations what they're doing. And once they've got their plan, they can organize labor, money, and material to complete the work that God's given them to do with sharing the gospel on the internet. So if you're one of those people who want to share the gospel on the internet, by all means, contact me at johned@cybermissions.org. So let's go back to time management for Christian disciples. Why do we need to manage our time? And how do we need to manage it? We need to manage it by praying, prioritizing, and planning. Praying, prioritizing, and planning. Praying so that you have the mind of God, praying so you have strength, prioritizing so you put one things in front of the other, so that you're doing the first things first, and you're doing what works and what doesn't work. And finally, planning so you've got a definite direction that you're going in and you can help other people come on board. Well, that's enough for this podcast. Go to cybermissions.org/3col, cybermissions.org/3col. Where you can get the workbook, other podcasts like this, and find out about the three-column planner. This is John Edmiston signing off. God bless and have a great day. Thank you.